This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The relevant numbers for the American economy on this Friday are 138,000 and 4.3. The latter is the unemployment rate, a 16-year low, by the by. The former is the number of jobs the economy added in May. Not really a great number, but it is where we're going to start today. Sudeep Reddy is at Politico. Anna Swanson is at The Washington Post. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
So, Anna, give me your gut check on this jobs number. I mean, 4.3 is a nice rate, however, comma.
That's right. So the unemployment rate did fall to the lowest it's been in more than 16 years, but economists were quick to say that it fell for the wrong reasons, which are the participation rate also went down, so you had fewer people in the labor force. So overall, it was a pretty disappointing report. It was a low jobs number. You had that declining participation, and then wage growth was still a bit sluggish.
Sudeep, talk to me for a second about this 4.3% rate and inflation. We're going to play a little game of what is Janet Yellen thinking here in about 2.5 minutes. But with this economy basically at full employment, the worry here now is that inflation is going to rise, right? Help me understand that.
We have heard this before, haven't we?
That yes, we
when
have.
The economy gets closer to full employment, wage growth will pick up and the Fed will have to respond with tightening that could slow down the business cycle. We've been talking about it for so long. It hasn't happened, but we still think it's going to happen. So hope springs eternal. That's like that. It's okay. This is we have long expected overall job growth to slow as we got closer to full employment, but we have yet to see the effects of that we'd really want to see of a substantial improvement in the labor force participation rate of people coming off the sidelines at a greater pace and an increase in wage growth that suggests that the gains are being spread more broadly. That was the problem we've been facing all along and the problem we're still facing now.
All right. So very quickly, and Anna, you're going to get a pass this time because we've not done this with you before. But Sudeep, what is Janet Yellen thinking? Five words or less with the acknowledgement that the Fed meets in June to talk about interest rates. Go.
Not on my watch. That's what really wants to make sure that she moves cautiously, she moves slowly, that it's not going to all fall apart when she is in charge behind the wheel.
All right, fair enough.
I could do it if it's
go ahead. All right, show off. Go ahead.
What about one more hike, then wait and see? I think the Fed will still definitely make a move in June because the markets are expecting that. And
did Sudeep tell you this was coming? You were ready with it, weren't you?
And the Fed doesn't like to disappoint the markets,
yeah,
right?
No, absolutely
That's very important.
Absolutely true. All right, Anna, let me turn to the president's decision yesterday to pull the United States out of the Paris Climate Accords. I want to talk about this idea of businesses as a counterpoint to government action, because we are seeing now states, you know, California and New York, but also some of the most valuable companies on the planet, right? Google and Microsoft and Apple, all saying we are going ahead with our global warming fighting policies. It's interesting now that companies are having to sort of be a check and balance on what the government does.
Definitely. Yeah, we saw, I think, at least 30 states and scores of companies coming out and saying that they were going to try to, you know, forge ahead with their own plans to combat climate change. And I mean, I think for companies, you know, it is a complication, though, because an economist was telling me this morning that, you know, while companies do like deregulation, what they really like is stable regulation. They want to know what the policy environment will be like in a decade when some of the investments they're making now are coming to fruition. And I think that, you know, pulling out of this accord and then the prospect of a future administration going back in creates some uncertainty for them.
Yeah, with the note that the earliest sort of possible action date on actually getting out of this thing is after the 2020 election. So there's some play there. Sudeep, let me get you back to this idea of American companies in a global economy. H.R. McMaster and Gary Cohn, two of the president's senior advisors, had that piece in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago in which they said this, talking about the president's trip. The president embarked on his first foreign trip with a clear-eyed outlook that the world is not a global community, but an arena where nations, non-governmental actors, and businesses engage and compete for advantage. It's interesting that they know that businesses compete on that global arena, and yet they seem to be pulling us out of it.
They are speaking to certain groups with all this messaging. Each week we're treated to what seems like a new round of corporate rhetoric, and I guess it's a new lesson each week about the risk of oversimplification about what all these needs are. A small domestic energy company would not necessarily like the Paris Agreement and has different needs from a large international energy company, whether it's a coal or oil that relies a lot on technology. A tech giant like Apple or Google has very different needs than a small manufacturer. And when you group them all together and say, this is what corporate America wants, you're obviously missing part of it. And that's the overall problem with a lot of the debate we have here, because we group everyone together instead of actually having a more nuanced policy across the board.
Sudeep Reddy at Politico, Anna Swanson at The Washington Post. Have a nice weekend, you too, huh?
You too. Thanks,
Thanks, Kai. You too.